Muhammad went to heaven. The night journey. I love that story. We are now, as I mentioned, in the midst of Ramadan, a period of fasting and spiritual reflection and growth for Muslims, and it is the Islamic holiday Lailatul Miraj, which was celebrated this year in February and will be celebrated next in January of 2025, which commemorates that very special night journey by Muhammad. Now, the scriptural evidence is slight. The Quran describes it briefly. Glory be to him who did take his servant Muhammad for a journey by night from the sacred mosque to the farthest mosque, the precincts of which we have blessed, that we might show him some of our signs. He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. You'll notice that the story you heard in the Time for All Ages adds a bit to that description. It adds the angel Jibril, who some might know as Gabriel, a heavenly steed named Barak, the various prophets and characters that Muhammad meets, and indeed the whole idea of a trip through the levels of heaven to meet Allah. Islam, like so many other religions, has stories grow up around its founder, stories that expand and are embellished over time. It is, after all, the human project to tell stories. And I think the story of Muhammad's night journey is wonderful. I love that the original command from Allah to Muhammad was to pray 50 times a day. Muhammad is coming back from his divine encounter. He passes Musa, who some may know as Moses. And Moses encourages Muhammad to return and get the number reduced. Isn't that great? 50? That will never fly, Moses says. There's room for negotiation here. He sends Muhammad back more than once. Each time the number of daily prayers is reduced, which makes one wonder how many commandments there were originally, right? Finally, when it's down to 5, though Moses is urging him to go back one more time, Muhammad decides this is a sufficient reduction, and too embarrassed to go back yet again, leaves with what he has. And Muslims across the world pray 5 times each day. Muhammad went to heaven, and Jesus went to hell. How many of you knew that? Yeah? Yes. You won't find it in too many places. Again, the scriptural evidence is slight. It is based on very thin scriptural evidence. A short passage in the first letter of Peter, chapter 3, verses 18 to 20, for those who want to check it out, which suggests that after Jesus died and prior to his resurrection, events which will be commemorated by Christians across the world in just a couple weeks, as the culmination of the Lenten season, in between those two events, Jesus traveled to hell, as is stated in what is known as the Apostles' Creed. Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. And many who recite the Apostles' Creed are still shocked when they hear it put bluntly, Jesus went to hell. Though it's hard to put it any more bluntly than it is in the creed. He descended into hell. I have no problem with the story. The first letter of Peter suggests that he made the trip so that he could preach to those who in former times did not obey when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark. Doesn't that conjure up an interesting scene? Hi, everybody. Don't have much time, but just wanted to catch you up on events. I know that the last interaction between you and God was not that pleasant, the flood and all. I do have good news, but I don't have a lot of time. Is there big plans for tomorrow? Jesus went to hell. And again, a wonderful story, both wonderful stories. but I sometimes wonder about the ramifications of these magical extra scriptural stories in religion. Do they bring these individuals, Jesus and Muhammad, closer to us or push them farther away? Do these stories challenge us to ask the questions that both Jesus and Muhammad asked? How do we take care of each other? Who is our neighbor? Who is our tribe? How do we best act from love? How can we practice what we preach? It may seem like I'm getting really nitpicky and somehow claiming that every story in every religion must teach this same lesson. No, I understand that there are beautiful particularities in each religion that are often expressed in just such magical stories. I am not deaf to metaphor. I appreciate the Sufis when they say that Muhammad's trip through the levels of heaven may represent stages in our own spiritual development. I understand the Christians who say that Jesus' descent into hell represents the realms of darkness and danger to which he traveled for those he loved. But there is also a danger in pushing these two individuals, for example, into a magical realm that we, everyday humans, cannot enter. There is a danger if we highlight miracles over message. It troubles me when I see the revelation given to Muhammad used to justify violence, oppression, and aggression in the name of Allah, when the Quran becomes holier than a human life. It is troubling to me when a Christian creed skips directly from the birth of Jesus to his death and resurrection, exemplified by a large banner in the front of a church I attended that pictured a manger and a cross with big, bold, block letters, born to die. Born to die, really? Weren't there a few important things in between? It troubles me when the stories sending Jesus and Muhammad on journeys to heaven or on missions to hell are used as a way of avoiding their direct challenge to us, human to human. And what is that challenge? The challenge to love one another and to figure out what love looks like in this messy, transient, earthly existence. To do our best to enact that love here on the earth amid the ongoing violence that we cannot deny and should not support. Amid the societal ravages of greed that we cannot ignore and should not tolerate. Amid an environmental crisis threatening the very wellsprings of life as we all too slowly learn to understand and gratefully accept our place here on this earth. Right here on earth, where Jesus told us the kingdom of heaven lived. Right here among us, amid all that is brutal and painful and twisted, right here or nowhere. I remember growing up in the Lutheran church, the few times I heard Islam mentioned, some were quick to point out, you know, Muhammad was just a prophet. In other words, for those who may have imagined that Muhammad was like Jesus, they were saying, no, he's just a prophet, not the son of God, as Jesus is to many Christians, not divine in that sense. As I grew older in explaining my own view of Jesus, people would sometimes ask, so you think Jesus is just a prophet? And so I ask you all to think about that with me. Just a prophet. Is prophet the kind of word that should ever be described as just? The living tradition we share draws from many sources, including words and deeds of prophetic people which challenge us to confront the powers and structures of evil with justice, compassion, and the transforming power of love. Using that as a working definition of a prophet, one who challenges us to confront the powers and structures of evil with justice, compassion, and the transforming power of love, take a moment to think of some people that you would call prophets. You can speak their names out loud if you want. Martin Luther King. Anybody else? not catching all those, but who? Mandela, yes. Gandhi. Now, put just in front of their names. Oh, you mean that was just Gandhi? Just Rumi? Just Greta Thunberg? Just Thomas Berry? Just Martin Luther King Jr.? Just James Baldwin? Just Nelson Mandela? Just Isabel Wilkerson? Whoever you think of, you see what I mean. Just doesn't really belong with prophet unless you're using it to refer to justice. And yet the truth about prophets is that they are trying to bring attention to their message rather than themselves. They are leaders, but they are inviting us to come along, certain that we will be able to do anything that they can do and more. It is the prophet who says, you can do this just like me. I am just like you. And we need to challenge the powers and structures of evil with justice, compassion, and the transforming power of love. They are human. They bleed and sweat and say the wrong thing sometimes and do the wrong thing sometimes. They struggle toward faith and are often filled with doubt, but they are swept up in the hand of God or the work of justice or scientific understanding or the spirit of love or the poetry of human consciousness. And once swept up, they can't not speak, even if people are telling them that now is not the time. They can't not do, even when people are telling them there's no use. Things are just are the way they are. They can't not because they are swept up in something larger than themselves, and they are inviting us to be swept up also. It is much easier to worship a prophet than to follow one. But prophets not only call us to follow, but to become prophets ourselves, and for each of us to be one in our own individual, unique, never to be duplicated way. You must answer the call that you hear, and you must live that call as only you can. And now the next time you hear the words of Unitarian theologian James Luther Adams call for the prophethood of all believers, urging our congregations to be training grounds to actualize the prophethood of all believers, you have a sense of what he means, of the importance of what we do here, of the risk you're taking just by coming. This is Prophet Boot Camp. Becoming a Prophet 101. After praising Allah, Abu Bakr had this to say to the people that had gathered upon the death of Muhammad. O people, if anyone worships Muhammad, tell him that Muhammad is dead. But if anyone worships Allah, then Allah is alive and does not die. What if something similar had been spoken in front of Jesus' tomb upon Mary and Martha's arrival? What if the angel had said, if you come to worship Jesus, know that he is dead. But if you have come seeking the truth that he spoke of, the kingdom that he showed to you, the love that he shared while he was with you, know that it lives on within and among you. In the rush to trumpet his divinity, his place in the Trinity, his death and his resurrection, which if believed in proper fashion provides a way to salvation, a message gets lost. Jesus said to his disciples, what I have done, you can do, and more. According to one writer, the only miracle that Muhammad claimed directly was the bringing of the Quran. Yet he is credited with innumerable miracles and associated with a variety of miraculous occurrences. His finger is said to have split the moon. The cooked poisoned meat warned him not to touch it. I love that one. The palm trunk sighed, the gazelle spoke for him, he cast no shadow. From his perspiration, the rose was created. And of course, there was this ascension to heaven. Wonderful stories. But sometimes we recount the miracles of the prophets, send them to heaven, drop them into hell, and bring them back unscarred, even make them divine, then say, they are magnificent, they are sacred, we can never be like them, and call that humility. What if it's not humility? What if it's fear? Is it possible that we are frightened that the potential lives within us to be like them, just as they told us it did? If we discovered that, what would we do? My intention is not to correct any doctrines of Christianity or Islam. I simply want to highlight the message of love at the heart of each that Unitarian Universalists share. I want to uphold a challenge that I see at the heart of each of those religions that James Luther Adams pointed out to be at the heart of ours, that we are all challenged to be prophets, to be prophetic in our own place and time and in our own way, to manifest love. Oh, love that will not let me go. The world needs your love, my love, all that we can muster, not some kind of sappy Valentine's Day feeling, but the roll up your sleeves, wipe your tears, rock the boat, shake the foundations, fall flat on your face, wake up in the morning and try again, love. The love that challenges injustice, the love that won't tolerate hypocrisy, the love that seeks healing, not hatred, that extends beyond what we like to what matters, the love that won't rest, that will not let us go, yet provides the only place that these human spirits of ours really can find rest. Along with all of the distressing news we hear, there are ripples of positive transformation that are spreading and growing larger and touching more and more people. I know that we will together continue to find ways to promote justice and compassion as priorities in our society and in our world at large. Our world is crying out for a room full of prophets like we have right now. Here, and that includes you, Zoom Room. So Muhammad went to heaven and Jesus went to hell, yeah. But remember the time they came to earth? Remember what they said? What they did? And more importantly, how about the time you came to earth? Tell me again, what happened then?